Hello, my peeps. Welcome back to Workday Playday with Improve It, the show where leadership, team, culture, and growth feel like recess with a side of improv comedy. I'm your host, Erin Deal, and this month on the show, we are talking all about vision setting because we're all about helping you dream it, plan it, and make it happen with less stress and more sparkle. Today, we have the honor of hanging out with Margaret Andrews on this playdate. She is a total rock star who created and teaches Harvard's, just Harvard's, most popular leadership courses. She wrote the book Manage Yourself to Lead Others, and she runs the Milo Center. Her client list reads like a power lunch: Amazon, Citi, Continental, Walmart, Wayfair, and the UN. And she's about to spill her best leadership secrets and improv-friendly tips you can swipe from her class right now. So let me just get into today a little bit. Leadership today is not about memorizing management hacks. It's about managing yourself first, because you can't lead others if you're running on fumes or old school thinking. Most leaders never got the human side of business training, and only 23% of employees even think their leaders set a clear vision. Yikes McGikes. So today we are changing that story. Harvard meets recess, baby. So when you ground leadership in self-awareness and values, vision setting becomes a living, breathing superpower, not a slide deck. Margaret's new book is basically a play map for your inner leader. And combine that with improv principles like yes and, curiosity and adaptability, and you've got a leadership toolkit that actually works. So get ready, get out your notebooks, because today's play date is one for the books. Let's play with Margaret Andrews. Okay, Workday Playdate peeps, y'all don't even know what we just went through to get here today. We have gone through the technology fails and to bring you the success that is the Margaret Andrews. So Margaret, welcome to Workday Playdate.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I'm seriously so excited. Like I feel like this took a moment because our usual platform, I just like to give the real deal, was giving us tech difficulties, but we're here now. So let's set an intention for our time together. So this month on the show, we're talking all about vision setting. Mm-hmm. What is a word that comes to mind for you to give or to receive in this conversation today when you think of vision setting?
Mm-hmm. I think of vision setting as being exploring possibilities, right? Exploring possibilities, and then when you decide, is setting the intention. So kind of possibilities and intention together.
I love that. I love to pay attention to intention, you know, it's in. So that's what we're even doing just as we set this time up here together today, because you have so many. As I was doing research for you, I didn't even know where to go. It was so many cool things that you have done in your life. And you're writing a new book. You are launching this new book. I want to just start off with a fun question. So let's start here. This is a play date, as you know. Let's just talk about what we think about when we think of the word play date. What was your favorite childhood recess game and why?
Oh my gosh. I used to really like kickball.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it's funny. We walked, my husband and I walked by a baseball diamond the other day, and it just brought back playing kickball and just how much fun that was. And you know, we used to do it in the street, of course, right? We'd throw somebody's jacket down and that was first base or whatever. So yeah, I played a lot of kickball when I was younger.
I love it. I love it. It's so funny. My son's 6 and he just told me that they were going to play kickball, and he goes, "Mom, I don't even know what that is." I was like, it's like baseball, but you kick instead of, you know, but it's fun to think about. It's fun to think about work and how just what we're even talking about applies to fun and joy. And you teach a leadership class at Harvard, right? So if your class opened up with a fun warm-up, what warm-up would you choose to break the ice? What's your like go-to warm-up for your class?
Yes, I have a go-to warm-up. And what I have is these cards. They're a little bigger than 3x5 cards. And on one side is a question. And they're fun, silly questions, you know, like if you, there was a movie made about your life, who would star as you? Oh. Or, you know, is it more important to be courageous or curious? Or, right, these kinds of questions. And so what we do is we have people, I pass out a card to everybody. And what they do is they kind of get up, mingle around the room, talk, see somebody. So you and I might meet. And then we would do, you know, just, hi, my name is Margaret kind of thing. And then I would ask you the question that's on my card and you would answer it. And then you would ask me the question on your card. And then we exchange cards and go yes. off and do this with other people. So the card is circulating as we're circulating. And so you get some really fun questions and really fun answers. And why I like it is because at a break, now we have something to talk about.
Okay. I love this. What do you call that?
I don't have a name for it other than card exchange.
Card exchange. I love it. Yeah. Give me your card. Maybe, you know, give me your card. Like the new, that is actually, a really fun way to just already start conversation, build camaraderie, create safe spaces. I love that. I love yeah. that so much. You got to coin it.
They're fun, fun questions and people haven't really thought about it. And I would say, now you know more about this person than most people know about them at work.
That's right.
We never talk about these things.
That is so true. And we could go down this whole conversation of non-transactional leadership. I have so many things I want to ask you, though. And I have one more fun question, just so we can kind of understand Margaret Andrews. So, like, let's say you're speaking on a stage. You know how you get up on a stage and there's a speaker, like, walk-up song? What would your walk-up song be? Pretend this is me asking. This is on your card. Okay, this is part of card exchange. What's your walk-up song?
Oh.
That you would walk up to if you're presenting or in front of your leadership class.
That's funny. I had to come up with a walk-on song one time for something. And so I did research on, like, what are good walk-on songs? And I remember from that research that do you know what the most common one is?
Okay. I probably do. Alicia Keys, This Girl Is on Fire for Women. No.
Oh, actually, I didn't do it by gender.
Okay.
Do you want to guess what the most common was overall?
Okay. I can't. Is it Beyonce?
Mm-mm. It's the song September.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, right?
Yes.
You've heard it a million times when people do that. And I picked one, and of course now I can't remember what it was, but I always thought, oh, September would be a great one, but I don't want to do it if everyone does that. I don't know. I think what would be a fun one, I probably wouldn't choose it though, would be, Right Said Fred, I'm too sexy.
Oh my God. I love it, Margaret. Yes.
Yes. I probably wouldn't do that, but it would cross my mind.
It would set a tone. Okay, yes. Add this to your card exchange pile. I feel like we need to ask this question to more
people.
That
is a good one.
You know?
That is a really good one.
I loved this answer so much. Like, not what I was expecting. And I'm so here for it. Okay, because I wanted you on this show for so many reasons. Honestly, when you came across our podcast manager's desk, okay, like, your people called our people, we did lunch. We were so excited because you've built Harvard's flagship leadership course. You've written a book called Manage Yourself to Lead Others. So could you, if you were at a play date, explain the core idea of this book to a five-year-old on a swing set? Mm-hmm. What would you say?
I would say, I love the question of explaining something to a five-year-old, because it's right. Five-year-olds see things very clearly.
So I have a six-year-old and yes, very clearly.
And they will give you that look of, huh?
Uh-huh.
So I would explain it as, to be a good leader, you need to understand and manage yourself first. If I was now explaining it to a 10-year-old, I might go on and say, because understanding yourself helps you understand other people, and that managing yourself helps you understand how to develop other people.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Okay. And I, you know what? There's an 8-year old in there who's like grasping what you're what you're saying too. I mean, we could go all levels. I love this. And I gotta tell you, you and I speak the same language. I literally, this is my heart. This is what I really love to talk about is self-leadership and giving mm-hmm. to ourselves first, because I've been on the other end of leadership where I gave to everybody else and didn't know how to lead myself. Mm-hmm. And it led to some really not fun stuff like chronic pain.
Yeah.
Burnout and, mm-hmm. you know, all the things that could come with that. So I love this topic. It's so applicable. And you talk about leadership as this creative act, okay? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. what's one playful way leaders can tap into their creativity to get the best of their people?
Gosh, that's a great question. To tap into your creativity, I think it's actually to do something that makes you relaxed or that you find joyful, whether it's listening to music or going for a run in the morning or, you know, whatever it is. It's oftentimes getting rid of your stress to get more playful.
Yes.
But it's like going to a comedy. You walk out of a, you know, for watching a comedy and you just feel refreshed.
Yes.
Right? Like you've washed everything. Or the same thing, although, is true if you watch a really sad movie and you cry, you can also feel refreshed, right?
Yep.
Because you're feeling whatever that emotion is.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I will tell you too, it's so funny. We were just talking about this with my team. Majority of my team are improvisers, but my internal team, like on the marketing side, the anomalies are, they are not improvisers. And one of them recently went to a comedy show in Portland, Oregon, of all places. Lives in Chicago, the Mecca.
Oh, yeah.
Second city. Yes. And that's where I've trained. And all of our facilitators are trained facilitators from that school.
Oh, I love that. We went there. It was amazing.
It was so fun. Yes. That's how I became an improviser, was through that school. But it was so funny. Nicole, who's our she's our marketing manager, who listens to this recording and will be listening and doing show notes, went to a show in Portland and came back and was like, I can't even believe I mean, I've seen improv shows, but there's just something about that show that changed everything about my brain and my brain chemistry. And my cousin and I went to see the show, and the whole way home, we were just like talking and our brains were working in this different way. And I was like, Nicole, this is why we do what we do.
But I think you're describing something that is so true, is that you have to experience something sometimes to understand the aha. Mm-hmm. Because I also teach a class called Creativity and Innovation. And that's the thing is, you know, we do certain things and you see somebody do something and you think, and you can almost hear the whole gasp in the room, like, oh, like, wow, somebody thought of this. And then the next round, everybody is more creative, right? Because you saw what was possible.
Yes. I love, and I love, you know, what you're bringing to is like, find joy, be a kid again, have fun and play, which is, again, you and I are speaking such a similar language. It's literally my happiest moment is when somebody has the aha ha ha moment, when mm-hmm. they're laughing and having a really good time, but at the same time, they realize this huge epiphany.
Yes.
It's so fun. And I feel like you're doing this all day, every day at Harvard, which is so cool. And you also talk about self-awareness, right? Mm-hmm. And people who don't or who lack self-awareness are 6 times more likely to blow up their careers. Mm-hmm. So if somebody listening today is like, what is self-awareness and how do I get that? Mm-hmm. We'll stick on this theme of baby step. What's like a baby step they could do to build that awareness?
Yeah. So I oftentimes talk about self-understanding. And to me, self-awareness is oftentimes used as a term in emotional intelligence is about, are you aware of the emotion that you're having in the moment? Like, for example, if we're talking here together, we might feel joyous and happy and things like that, or we might feel anxious and frustrated, right? So, but the question is, do you understand what it is that you're feeling? Because if you can't understand it, you can't manage it.
Yeah.
And so to me, and we all use these words perhaps a little differently. To me, self-understanding includes self-awareness, but it goes on to say things like, you know, how has your past shaped your present? You know, what are our values? How have they perhaps changed over time? What feedback have we gotten? And what does that say about how well we understand our own emotions and our own actions and how we impact other people? So self-understanding, I use these six questions, and they're fairly involved questions, and they take a lot of time to answer. But in general, they are getting at who and whose thinking has impacted you and have shaped you. Right? It's, of course, your parents and your family and your community and perhaps religious ideas or movies you've watched, dorm conversations you've had, right? All of these things, people that have helped you, people that have hurt you, they all shape us in some way. Also, what types of situations and events, I would say these are lucky accidents and unlucky accidents.
Yeah.
Right? The unlucky ones are you got sick. Or something, but the lucky ones are really helpful too. It's that the one I hear all the time is I really didn't want to go to that party, but my friend made me go to the party and that's where I met my spouse.
Yeah.
Right. So these things that turn on a dime, but also how do you define success, personal life, professional life? How well do you understand your own emotions? What feedback have you received in your personal and professional life? And what are your core values? So these kind of six areas, of course, they're a little deeper than going through that quickly, but essentially those are the ones that really start making you look internally to say, huh, who am I and what do I want?
And I love this connection to being fulfilled in our careers too. Okay, I hate interrupting this conversation because I'm loving every second, but I need a quick timeout for our Playdate piece. If you've been thinking, my team needs to get clear on our priorities and visions for next year, I've got you. Our vision setting workshop at Improve It is built to do exactly that. Now, in this highly interactive and high energy in-person or virtual workshop, our seasoned improv facilitators lead participants through improvisational activities and customized debriefs centered on this philosophy. Partnership plus planning equals proper prioritization. Try saying that three times fast. You'll improve brainstorming, set priorities, and leave with a plan your team is excited about. We offer this for up to 100 people in person for 2 hours or 50 people on Zoom for 90 minutes. If you're ready to stop spinning and start winning, visit learntoimproveit.com to book your vision setting workshop today. That's learntoimproveit.com. Let's get back to our show. Have you ever read the book, The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, a long time ago, but yes.
Okay. And I'm not comparing, that is a whole different subset, but it just made me think about your six questions. I did the book, The Artist's Way, probably 8 years ago. And I went back and looked at this work, my answers to these questions. They're not the same. They're kind of, they're introspective questions. They make you aware of what you want, what you need. And I'll tell you this, there are a couple of crossovers in your six and some of the work I did there. That introspection, that self-awareness that I need to be in nature. I lived in Chicago for 15 years when I was doing The Artist's Way the first time, that I needed to be near an ocean, that I needed to be outside with sunshine, all these things. I love you, Chicago, so much. But it wasn't like the ideal environment for me to thrive in my career, personally, professionally, what have you. That self-awareness is what led me to Charleston. As you know, I live here now. And I really believe the work you're doing is so powerful because if people take the time and pause and answer these six questions, they don't have to keep searching. They can go inward versus external, and the answers are there.
I totally agree with that. And I love also what you said, that you still have those questions and the answers, because I always encourage people to do that because you're not one and done.
Yeah.
You know, you will see it with a different lens sometimes, or you might think a little differently about it. Doesn't mean you were wrong the first time. It just means you're seeing it a little differently. And I always tell people, listen, these are deep questions. And my answer to the first question of who and who has shaped you is 6 pages of single typed space.
Oh my gosh.
So that's question one.
Yes.
It's very, very helpful to go inward, and it just helps you understand things.
I love it. I love this. And this is like so I'm just so intrigued by the work you're doing at Harvard, right? You've done so much amazing work with this class. You've written a book. But if you could turn, you've seen improv. If you could turn your class into an improv show, what would the group name be of this class? And then who would be like the leading star?
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Oh. I think it would. Oh, that's such a hard question.
I know.
Yeah. But I would say, I'm not sure what the answer to that would be. But I was going to say, we've always found in teaching it that that whenever somebody in the class will sort of mention something vulnerable.
Yes.
And as soon as that happens, everything changes. So, you know, I don't know, would we call it the vulnerability show or something? I don't want to make it sound like it's therapy, because it's not. But it's that people are talking about real things
yes.
that they care about, things sometimes that have happened to them, things that they want to get better at. And so I think because what happens is that I think we realize that we all have very similar desires. You know, we want to be seen, we want to be heard, we want to be appreciated, we want to be respected, etc. And so oftentimes what happens at work is that we don't feel that way.
Right.
And that causes, whether it's burnout or unhappiness or something like that, that, you know, I do believe it doesn't have to be this
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
I think that, but when we have a lot of pressure, when we have long commutes, when we have a lot of competing demands, you know, we're all human. We're all human. And I think that's the thing we have to recognize.
I love it. We're human beings, not human doings. Maybe that's the title of your group. Human being. Or maybe it's just manage yourself to lead others. I don't know. Manage you. Manage you could be.
Manage yourself you. First.
Yes. And it could be like manage you, like university.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, we've got a name now for your improv class.
I
okay?
like this. I like
All right.
This.
We're brainstorming. This is a workshop. I'm just kidding. Okay. So just talking about leadership development, I wanted to give our peeps just sort of a background of where you come from in this leadership development seat. But you've worked with companies like Amazon, Citi, Walmart, Wayfair, even the UN. So is there anything within your work that you've seen that was surprising mm-hmm. to you when it comes to even talking about something like vision setting? Is there anything in your body of work that you've seen when it comes to people showing up as leaders, setting visions, making things happen? We also have a visitor here today, Margaret, that just
graced
us with
our
presence.
Oh, very nice.
Okay,
very nice.
Big Deal has entered the chat. Big Deal is an 8-pound
I like
tofu.
That name.
Yes. Okay, sorry about that. So, okay.
No worries.
Any
surprises? Lots. But I think especially in the beginning when you start to see things and then you realize, oh, you know, everybody's approaching it a little bit differently. You know,
yep.
that people that are earlier in their careers oftentimes feel that they have to be a certain way. And it is, you know, there's in lots of organizations, there's a star manager, you know, the rainmaker or whatever you want to call them. And so they feel like they have to be like that. And they're just twisting themselves into a pretzel trying to be like that. And
yep.
usually quite unsuccessfully. And so for them, I oftentimes say, well, step back, right? You step back. Who are you? You know, what do you want? You may not want the same things that these others do. And I think with more seasoned executives, what I find is that they've kind of internalized some of that, that they have to be a certain way. This is what a leader looks like. In fact, there's a story in the book about somebody who said that when they were promoted, they worked for this company we've all heard of, and he was promoted into this very senior position. And he thought to himself, okay, so now I need to behave like an executive.
Yep.
Right. And so he just thought, well, what does that mean? So he looked at somebody, you know, that he thought of as an executive. He said, I'm going to emulate that person. And long story short, he just became a person that he didn't recognize, did not like, did not want to be. And that's when he, you know, there were a couple of other things that went on, but he said, wow, I need to step back. I need to, you know, really think about what am I doing here? Who am I? Who do I want to be? Kind of thing. And I just think that that just exemplifies all of what we're talking about, that, and I do hear people say, oh, I don't have time for this. And I tell them, sometimes you have to slow down to speed up.
That's right.
You know, if you have a flat tire,
yes,
you have to stop and fix it.
Yes.
You know, you're not going to go very far or very fast if you have a flat tire. And if you have a flat internal life, the same thing is going to be true.
Oh, man. Margaret, you know what? You said that for somebody who needed to hear it today. That person, me. But truly, like, again, this goes back to what I was telling you with the physical pain that I had when I was really giving and giving and giving to everybody and not really recognizing any internal acknowledgement of myself with the self-awareness. We, as leaders, I think, feel like we have to show up and have all the answers. I've heard that too.
Yeah.
And the truth is, going back to your statement, we are human beings. We are not meant to have all the answers. It's okay. And being okay with that and being okay with, okay, I'm going to give myself a break. I'm not feeling like I'm myself. I feel like a shell of myself, or I'm trying to be somebody else, like you mentioned, and stepping back and looking inward, managing you, going back to your improv show and managing you.
But that's actually why I really like the premise of this podcast, is because, you know, we used to think, and this really was pretty pervasive, that the leader is supposed to have all the answers.
Yep.
And the truth is, with the way the world works now, I mean, it was always probably true to a great extent, but it's even more true now, is that nobody can have all the answers. And that's why I love the idea of improv and creativity, is because I may not know the answer and you may not know the answer, but together we can figure it out.
Right? So true.
And it's brainstorming and it's being playful and it's, you know, and it's laughing. Because I say wherever there's laughter, there is creativity, right? Because creativity, you have to, that's why jokes are funny, is because you think we're going this way and all of a sudden it takes a right-hand turn. And that's what's funny.
That's right. That is, and the truth of the comedy, I love that you see it. I love it so much. Like, truly, when people understand the work behind this, it's not just flowers and unicorns and rainbows. There's like so much genius behind the work.
And hard work too, actually.
Yes.
But it can be fun when you do it with people that get this.
That's right. And I feel it, Margaret. This is what they would call in the boardroom synergy. Okay.
Yes. There's that word that is so overused.
So played out. Okay. Well, just speaking of joy and fun, is there something that you do for joy and fun that makes you a better leader? Is there a hobby that you do?
Yeah, there is, actually. And I did it this morning. I like to swim.
Yeah.
And I'll swim pretty much anywhere. But I live in the Boston area and I swam out at Walden Pond.
Oh.
And I just absolutely, it just makes my day. There is something about being out in nature, and Walden Pond is a very special, obviously historic place. And somebody asked me the other day when I said, you know, Walden Pond is kind of my happy place. And they said, well, if it weren't so historic, would it be so magical? And I thought, I don't know, but it is historic and it is magical. It is magical. So I'm not going to over-examine my joy.
That's right. That's right. Let her have this, please. Okay. Don't steal her joy. I am so happy to hear that. You have to, you know, sometimes I ask leaders questions, and one time my team asked me, they're like, what do you do for fun?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I turned my hobby into my job. But same thing, you know, I get up and I go for a run around I live close to the ocean, so I can see the ocean, and it just like, the joy that I feel in that moment, filling my own cup, managing myself first, is it in turn makes me feel like I can tackle other people's problems and other things as the day comes. So I love this. And I love your swimmer. How many miles did you swim today? Because I know you swam 6.
I only swam, I think, about 2 today. So go for a longer one this weekend. But, you know, during the week, it's hard to put in that much mileage.
Oh my God. I love it. Okay. And then I want to ask this question because you are just on the like the precipice of leadership development. So if you're looking ahead to the future of leadership development, what excites you the most? And if somebody in our Peeps community is listening, what should they start experimenting with right now?
Yeah. What excites me most? Well, maybe this is answering a different question, but I'll answer it anyway, is what excites me actually a lot about teaching and working with executives and students and things like that is just when people recognize their own potential. I love helping people get to where they want to go, right? But it's they have to do the internal work, right?
Yes.
And then we can brainstorm some things. So that is what I find really exciting about that.
Love it. And where should, if they were interested, what should they start experimenting with right now?
I would say, just what I'm going to say, checking in with themselves. I'm going to say two different things, but they're both related. One is to try as much as you can to understand, to recognize and understand your own emotions. So to do that, you can put a post-it note on your computer that says emotion with a question mark to remind yourself, you know, what emotion am I feeling now? And most people have a hard time with this. So I say, close your eyes and feel what you feel. Is it in your stomach? Is it in your shoulders? Is it, you know, in your jaw? So what emotion are you feeling? And just to check in, to know, am I feeling angry, frustrated, anxious, happy? But the other is to just use some questions to try to understand yourself. They can be the ones that I have. They can be anything. I'm just a big believer in just asking yourself a lot of questions. Questions are oftentimes more important than answers because, as you know, whatever question you ask, that's the frame for which the answer is going to come. So two questions that sound very similar actually are different frames, and therefore they'll get different answers.
Oh my God, I love it. I love it. We have so much to, like, literally everything. The framework of this conversation, by the way, was beautiful because I like think back to the framework of your card exchange, the questions that you're even creating, and the inner work that you're talking about. I think a lot of people stray away from. We're going back to that self-assessment, and I have so many wonderful humans in my life. I'm not saying I've got it all figured out because I don't. But you know when you have done the work and you are aware when you've done the work because you've been through it. You've felt what the emotions feel like, and sometimes they suck. And sometimes you have
they do.
You know, you got to go through it. The only way out is through. And so I have a lot of people in my life that I hope are listening that I think if they sat with their emotions and just identified it on a post-it note, like literally that question mark, emotions question mark,
it is. I think it is one of those things too, that I think you are spot on that lots of people really do not want to go into these kinds of questions. But to your point, you know, remember that old children's book / rhyme, going on a bear hunt or
yeah,
going on a squeegee hunt, right? You can't go over it. You can't go under it. You got to go through it.
Through it.
And I think that is true when you think about emotions, because sometimes we try to shove them down.
Yep.
You know? But that doesn't work. And I'm sure we've all had this situation where something makes you angry. You're not going to show it. You're going to shove it down, et cetera. And then you end up getting angry at someone who didn't deserve it, right?
That's right.
And that's usually what happens. So the thing is that I don't even remember where, I think I have this quoted in the book, but I can't remember now who said it, but that emotion, the word emotion has the word motion in it, and that emotions are meant to flow through you. Mm. And so when you try to shove it down, it's stuck. So it can't move. So if you feel it, it moves through you and it's gone.
Oh, I love that. Margaret, that was gold. Figure out who said that, or you should coin it, because it's so good.
It's in the book, and I believe it's a psychologist from UCLA whose name is escaping me right now.
Okay, that's fair. But it's in your book, Manage Yourself to Lead Others. Okay, tell everybody how they can find you. Where can they get the book, and where can they reach out to you?
Yeah, so the best way always is LinkedIn. That's the one that... of all social media, I usually hang out there. And I am Margaret C. Andrews. I say that because there are That's the Margaret Andrews on LinkedIn. And it turns out there are two Margaret Andrews at Harvard. So the other one is in the classics department. So when I get her email, it's very clear that it was not sent to me or it was sent to me on accident. So LinkedIn, Margaret C. Andrews, the book is available pretty much where books are sold, all online retailers and things. It's called Manage Yourself to Lead Others. And you can also find me on my website, which is margaretandrews.com.
Love it. Okay, final question, because I could talk to you forever. How are you going to make today more playful?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm going to go see a concert tonight. So, Yeah, we're going to go see Alison Krauss and Union Station tonight. So
fun. Yeah. So that'll
be pretty playful.
Live it up. Enjoy every minute. I've enjoyed every minute chatting with you here. I really felt like it was a full circle conversation. I feel like you really are just doing some amazing work out there. I'm so grateful. Your students are very lucky.
Thank you.
And we are so lucky we're going to get your wisdom with this book. So thank you, Margaret, for coming on
thank
the play
you,
date.
Erin. This was awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll have you back.
All righty. Take care. See you in South Carolina.
Yes. Bye. Okay, Margaret, thank you for taking us on a field trip inside Harvard's number one leadership class and showing us how improv principles like yes and self-management and authentic vision setting can totally transform leadership. Now, my peeps, here is your assignment for the week. I want you to take one part of your leadership vision, improv style, and I want you to yes and it into a bold step. What is your next step? Write it down, speak it out, or test it in action. Your affirmation for the week. You get ready. Write this down. My leadership vision is playful. My leadership vision is powerful. My leadership vision is possible. Let me say it again. My leadership vision is playful. My leadership vision is powerful. My leadership vision is possible. I'm so happy you joined me in the playground today for today's play date. Man, this was so good. I could talk to Margaret for hours. She just really gets this work, and I'm so happy you are here too. I hope today inspired you, and please know I want you to keep improving, keep improvising, keep playing, because every day is a play date waiting to happen. I'll see you next time. Bye.